AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
On the Pilot TV podcast this week, we're getting witchy with Domino Day on BBC Three, delving into the past with Black Cake on Disney Plus, and rejoining the Jessop clan in the second series of Here We Go on BBC One. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to the Pilot TV podcast, your essential guide to every show that matters, and a show that's going to be even more shambolic than usual this week, because for a variety of reasons involving the live 600th episode of the Empire podcast, a trip to the theatre, and a vain attempt at a social life, I have had no chance to do any prep whatsoever for this podcast. I am having an absolute shocker. That has, however, never stopped me before. And it doesn't matter, because I am assisted by my two far more informed colleagues, Boyd Hilton and Kay Ribeiro. Hi, guys.
We all have a social life. This is an absolute disgrace.
I meant to say, because I'm so wildly unprofessional is what I meant to say. Obviously, it was
Jesus wept.
And also, I like how you're setting me up for a fall. Yeah.
It's been some of us have had a social life, been ill for most of this week, still did the fucking For All Mankind podcast that took about 8 years to organise and was cancelled and rebooked about 5,000 times.
He was very happy to do.
All right, guys, yeah. I'm going to say this for all of our lovely listeners. First and foremost, yes, Boyd, he was ill when we recorded Pilot Plus. This was made abundantly clear. He was also very unhappy that I was forcing him to do the For All Mankind spoiler special. However, if you are a Pilot Plus subscriber, there is now, or will be by the time you listen to this, a For All Mankind spoiler special on your feed. But perhaps more exciting than that, Boydie,
yes,
is that due to popular demand, by which I mean one person said it on the subreddit,
yeah,
we are doing, and by we, I mean you,
yeah,
a Traitors spoiler special,
which
we are recording on Monday.
Yeah.
And we'll hopefully get turned around for, I don't know, Tuesday. So hopefully by the time you listen to this tomorrow, a Traitor spoiler special where Boydie and Kay and possibly Ben Travis and Sophie Butcher will go through all of the traitoriness of the finale and the series as a whole.
Completely. I don't know why you're absolving yourself from this.
What would I bring to that? Be honest.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I have to say, it's exciting. This is good. This is like, it's now become almost a series of Empire, Heat, Pilot TV crossovers.
Collabs,
because I did the For All Mankind one with Dan Jolin and
Helen
O'Hara.
Yeah.
And I have to say,
that was so much better than you two.
Well,
oi, easy.
No, I'm not. I wasn't going to say that.
He would do an open slag off. No. Wait till we're out.
What I was going to say was they were absolutely brilliant. Their insights into, I hosted the thing, but they.
Okay, it hurts a little.
Yeah, it does a bit.
Yeah,
I feel quite hard.
Why does that hurt?
I feel.
Why? Because when have you ever given us a compliment?
Yeah.
Well, but if you do a For Mankind podcast, then you'll get a compliment.
I feel what Boydie was saying there, Casey. It was so nice to work with people who were giving me insights into things and were speaking intelligently about TV shows. That's what I got from that.
And Helen, I mean, Dan was brilliant as well, but Helen, like, they're talking about like oxygenation of something.
Oh, wow.
She had a whole explanation of it. Both Dan and I were like, oh my God, that is incredible. Like, genuinely. But people listen to it.
Hang on. When I James explain about oxygenation in The Expanse, you just glaze over. How is it that when Helen does it?
She's just different, you know.
It's her lilt as well.
What can I say? Yeah, the lilt and everything. Yeah, true.
Wow.
No,
that's fine.
She was amazing.
Why don't you go and start a podcast
with
them?
Let's cut him out. Let's give him the cold shoulder.
If I keep complimenting Helen enough that she'd invite me on the Empire podcast when there's only two of you, you should have brought me in. I'm the person to bring in.
I feel really sad about this. He so clearly wants to one day come on,
I'm not pretending. I mean, I just quite clearly just said it. So, yeah, so I'm not.
No,
like,
I know,
I'm
but
not...
each time it's rebuffed by James, who pretends he can't hear you.
I think it's mainly rebuffed by Chris Hurt, to be fair.
Well, no, there was discussion. There was early discussion of maybe doing some kind of collab podcast that we were going to do. That's still in its early infancy, we're just spitballing ideas at the moment.
Yeah. The good thing about Helen and Dan is just to go back to them one more time.
Tell us, buddy. Tell us the best thing about Helen
they also
Dan.
Watch loads of TV as well. I mean, so, you know.
So they really are now stepping on our territory.
No. Great. But they've got, it's just good.
Sure.
It's a good resource.
What else do you love
about
them? Do you want to run to your top 10? Go on.
Top 10 what?
Things people. About you love about them.
Oh, top 10
top 10 people top who 10 are people James who and Kay.
Yeah.
You're better than James. Yeah.
No,
Kay.
You're both brilliant as well, obviously.
I didn't buy that.
Felt a bit token.
Yeah, that felt like
sure.
It.
Sorry. Mm. Sorry.
Oh, God. Lip where service. Do we go from here?
I don't know.
Crack on, I say.
What have you been watching with your new best friends, Helen and Dan?
Very good.
Yeah, wheeze it up.
Yeah. Sorry if I am a bit wheezy and cold.
You've got big Palpatine vibes, actually. Like, yeah.
So be it.
Great.
Jedi. Yes. Talking of Palpatine vibes, I interviewed, what's his name? Donald Gleeson this morning, who played Thingy in Star
General
Wars.
Hux.
General Hux in Star Wars. I believe you interviewed him once. As
yeah,
well.
So we had some disagreement before the podcast started on whether or not I told my General Hux anecdote well. Mm. Kay said no. Boyd was quite in favour. Yeah. It was a tricky one.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Is that online, your interview with him?
No, it's not. Oh, it was okay. Just in the magazine.
Okay.
Shall I tell the anecdote again for the sake of our
audience?
Yeah, I was
going to say, you can't just like allude right,
okay.
to it. Yeah.
The anecdote I had is that one of the worst interviews I had ever done was with Donald Gleeson, who is a famously lovely man, so it was confusing. So I had 15 minutes with him to talk about his role as General Hux in The Last Jedi. And every question I asked, he was quite curt, quite clipped, a little bit abrupt. And then as the interview went on, his answer started to get a little bit angry sounding. Like, he seemed genuinely cross as he was talking through it. And I was really discombobulated. I was on the back foot. I was like really stressed out. 15-minute interview. We got to about 11 minutes. And I said to him at one point, okay, well, you know, obviously when I write the feature, we're going to be doing this and this. And then I asked the next question, complete silence for 5 seconds. Didn't say a word. And then he just went, I'm so sorry. I said, what? He said, I thought this interview was about Goodbye Christopher Robin and you were just massively taking the piss by asking me all these questions about Star Wars, and I was just getting really annoyed about it, and I was like, well, we've got 4 minutes left. And she was like, right, quick, ask me everything. So I asked him loads of questions. He was brilliant for the last 4 minutes. He was an absolute delight. But those first 11 minutes were brutal. But anyway, the reason I mentioned this is Kay was like, well, you buried the lead there. I can't believe you didn't say that bit up front. And to which point, Boyd was explaining the principles of storytelling.
Yeah. Do you know what it was? It was my disappointment. Because if you start off saying someone's an arsehole, I want them to be an arsehole. I don't want it to be a reverse
But
parent.
Then you don't get the third act rug pull.
Yeah, you've got to get the third act.
I don't know how much of a rug pull it actually was.
That story, we're told in any other order, would have been mad.
I'm so surprised you're defending it.
No, because it's a good story. And the only reason it's a good story is because of the ending. Yeah. Okay, the explanation.
So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put it in the top story slots along with a hotel story.
Okay.
Do you know what that was, Kay? It was an angry reverse ferret.
Yeah, it was. It was. Anyway, the reason I mentioned him is because I interviewed him this morning with Andrea Riseborough, because they are the stars of Alice and Jack, which is a new kind of romantic drama in which they both star, and that'll be on soon. So I watched episodes of that in preparation for this. It's also showing at BAFTA tomorrow night as we record this Thursday, tomorrow night, Friday. Have you been right to that, Kay?
I think so. What channel?
It's Channel 4.
Right.
And it's also produced by Krish Majumdar, often friend of the show.
Yes.
His production company produced it, Me and You Productions. So the people who gave us I Am, the I Am series, you know, Kate Winslet's been in, etc. And they were, but they were fascinating, is what I'm saying. And I watched, and the show is really interesting. I can't wait to review it. We'll be reviewing it soon. Be fascinating to see what James makes of it. I think James is going to be traumatized by it. Is my preliminary observation.
He loves a bit of trauma.
Yeah. So there's that. So I watched Alice and Jack. I watched lots of episodes of One Day because I had to write about that this week. Previewing that, because that's something we'll be reviewing that quite soon.
We will.
That's quite heavily embargoed, so I don't know when we'll get to review it.
One day.
Leo Woodall and Ambika Mod, and it is embargoed, so I can't say what I think of it. So I'm just saying, but I did watch. I mean, all I'll say is I kept watching it and carried on watching it.
Well, you've said it all there.
And I know James was sent it, because this was the one James was sent years ago.
I mean, I've obviously had it for months.
Yeah, he's had it for months.
But have you actually watched it?
I have watched some episodes. I haven't watched all of it.
Mm. There you go. So I watched that. Then I rewatched all the episodes of Curb, because I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hang on.
What?
Hang on. Just this season, right? Like,
of Curb. No, just this season.
Right. He's not a maniac. He's not you.
Yeah. But so I did the review for Empire, having interviewed him, which, by the way, you know, this is kind of against the rules, but I forgot. And so anyway, I watched them all again for the review that I did right in Empire. And the brilliant thing about Curb is you get so much enjoyment out of watching them quite quickly again and again and again. I mean, that is the incredible thing about it. And if I haven't mentioned it, I mentioned it on the Plus, but I don't think I mentioned it on the actual normal podcast that I've interviewed Larry David. And hopefully we'll get to play some of that on the pod. I have yet to determine if we'll get approval for that, but we'll be able to play a chunk of it. But I had like 50 minutes with him, and it was one of the greatest days of my life, obviously, because he's a legend. It's like me interviewing Bob Dylan or
Or Dan and Helen from
Dan Empire. And Helen. Yeah, it's on that level.
God, those guys.
It is on that level. So that was fantastic. And yeah, so I've now watched most of Curb twice. It's phenomenal. The new 12th and final season. And finally, of course, as you said, we're doing the podcast on Monday when the final goes out tomorrow. Is Traces. So, which has just been, you know, I would say it's been. I mean, we'll get into it on Monday in the full. But I would say it's been at least a 25% better than season one. Mm-hmm. Series one, would you agree?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I'm loath to say anything, so we don't want to spoil it for anyone. But yeah, let's.
But right now, we're just waiting to find out what happens. Tonight is the penultimate episode. Finals tomorrow. We'll discuss it on Monday in the special podcast. But yeah,
and for those of you who like me who do not watch The Traitors, you don't have to listen.
No one has to listen to it. No, exactly.
Why are you trying to put people
no, so I said, because yeah, there is a contingent. There is a contingent of our listeners who get very antsy at the thought of any kind of reality content.
I think it's mostly
and
you.
So I'm just fending that off by saying it's entirely
optional. All I would say is those listeners are intelligent and they understand the concept of choice.
Right, okay.
They don't have to listen to it. It's fine.
But you're it's like your little army. That's the followers. They're the ones who are
the dire hole. He's galvanising the army.
Yeah, and without encouragement from James, I think they'd be fine with that.
What do we find out at the end of The Traitors? Like who
wins?
The survivor?
A lot of money.
Right, so, Kay, presumably you would like them to front load that in the first episode so you knew going in.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
All right, that's VG. True. Well done.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I've been watching. Kay.
Yes. Only a couple of things. Traitors, which we'll talk about Monday, and then... because you were talking about it so favourably last week, I watched the first series of Here We Go.
The Tom Batten comedy.
Yes, I won't say too much because I've got it, you know.
No spoiler alert for the main interview. Main review.
Mm. But I was very happy watching it. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
James, what about you?
Nothing.
Well, we know you haven't had time to do anything.
Like, literally nothing.
Not even
beyond
a cheeky rewatch of
West
Wing.
This week, no, I've watched one episode of The West Wing. That is the only thing I've watched the entire week. And the reasons for this are.
Oh my
I have been out a lot. I went to see Les Mis again for the 167th time.
That's like my idea of torture.
It's amazing.
It's
I loved
not,
it. Do you know what?
It's so weird that you're obsessed with Les Mis.
Like, the whole show was retooled during the pandemic. So the Sondheim Theatre was completely gutted, renovated. All the stage stuff was redone. So all of the stage work, the whole way the production is becoming completely transformed since I last saw it, and it was fascinating to see the different direction that the show has gone.
Such
in,
so a West End Wendy, who knew? Who knew? Honestly,
he's always lit up.
It was wonderful.
Have we discussed this before?
I don't know.
I don't know. Probably. Is it just Les Mis that you're obsessed with, or is it all Andrew Lloyd Webber?
it's Cameron Mackintosh.
Andrew Lloyd Webber. No, it's thingy, isn't it? It's they're French people who created it.
Trey Francais. It is Trey Francais.
But is it just that, or do you like Miss Saigon? Do you like
Chicago?
Do you like Chicago?
I have seen Miss Saigon and was a bit meh on it.
That was the same people. That's why I mentioned
I've seen Wicked and thought Wicked was very good, but nothing I have seen has been on a level with Les Mis.
So weird. And it's the thing about Les Mis that horrifies me, and they're re-releasing the film, aren't they, for some god
yeah, they are. It's unclear to me why, but yes, they are.
Mysterious reasons. I think it's an anniversary, but still, like, leave it.
Right.
I was invited to that, and I was literally like, oh my God, it's my idea of hell. Because it's sung through. Isn't it? There's no. It's the whole thing is sung. Do you
yeah.
Like
there's
it?
No. Oh, yeah. There's no. There's, yeah. Well, yeah. Very little.
My idea of hell.
My idea of hell. Mm. So I went to see because you know I have to see all the films, particularly like it got like Oscar nominated and everything. So I remember I went to see the screening of Les Mis the film, and it was excruciating.
I feel very strongly about this. Say it, don't sing it.
Totally got to say, don't sing it. So, I mean, at least the saving grace of musicals like Wonka or what's the other one recently? Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
They just have. You know, a load of songs in the middle of them. But to have this whole thing sung, oh, painful.
I don't mind it, like, especially because the way Les Mis is performed, and I'm sure theatre people, there are probably terms for this, but it's acted as well as sung. Like, some of the lines are semi-sung, semi-spoken, so there's a lot of acting in the sort of musical performance. Which sort of drives the narrative. Yes. And the music is wonderful.
Yeah.
It is. It's wonderful. It's like some of those songs. Like when One Day More comes on, that is transcendent.
Oh, I bet that's rousing.
What's the one that Susan Boyle sung?
Not a clue.
Sue Boat, she sang.
Oh, yeah. What did she sing?
I Dreamed a Dream.
I Dreamed a Dream. Oh, fine. So
that's
Fontaine song. Yeah, it's a great song. It's a great song. You need a hell of a set of pipes for that one. Yeah. But yeah.
She has got a set of pipes.
Indeed. But One Day More is the showstopper. Which is the end of Act One.
Right.
Medley.
Right. So you watched Les Mis and West Wing. But
indeed. So I watched one episode of the West Wing because I was doing something else and I just wanted to put something on. So I put on the Red Mass episode from season four, which is the one I'm up to. But I have not watched...
Boy's actually got his head in his hand.
He literally does. I have not watched anything else because we had the live 600 podcast for Empire, which was last weekend.
How'd it go?
It went very, very well, except for the fact that someone, and I mentioned this on Pilot Plus, but for those of you who don't subscribe, why don't you subscribe? But for those of you who don't subscribe, I was given a Swifty bracelet, which had Swifty written on it, and I was wearing it while talking to Tom Hiddleston and realised belatedly that that was awkward, and so I had to kind of hide one arm behind
the back. I think he'd find it funny. I don't think he'd be offended. I'm sure he wouldn't.
But I suddenly became acutely aware that it was just, it's weird to be talking to someone wearing a bracelet with their ex-girlfriend's name on it. I'm just saying that. That's weird.
I remember the thing I wanted to say about Taylor Swift that I didn't say because it was in the awards. It was in the Golden Globes. Did you watch the Golden Globes where that guy made a joke about her?
And she was really pissed off.
Yes.
I thought that was really.
Did she look pissed off, or did she just seem a bit like? I mean,
she looked really pissed off.
What do you think was unfair? Because I missed the whole. I didn't hear what he said.
So visibly kind of annoyed about it. I was like, it's just a. And the joke wasn't even a. The joke was actually about the media coverage of
it. It was. Yeah.
It was saying. Yeah. You know, that we'll spend less time showing you shots of her than the American football games because she's going out with the American footballer.
Yeah.
And that's not even a joke about her. It's a joke about fame and the way she's been treated by the media. It's actually on her side, if anything, that joke. And yet she was visibly like furious about it. I was like, come, I mean, he gets, especially, normally she's renowned for having a sense of humour and being funny. And
really?
Like, I think so.
Is she
James? Yeah, she's generally very good with, you know, she comes across as generally a very lovely person.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But you, it's hard to say what someone actually felt from like a single camera shot of their face.
How do you know?
And also, like, I suppose when you're making a joke about someone's boyfriend and their personal life, maybe that kind of touches a nerve. Who the fuck knows?
Will Smith says it all. Right.
Well, that's a whole other thing. Yeah.
I mean, she did go up and try and punch.
If she got up and lamped him, that might have been quite entertaining.
But he was terrible, the host, by the way, as everyone.
I didn't know, boy. You've never mentioned it before on this podcast.
No, we should say that. I think we're going to come. Unless you only watched one episode of The Wise Show this week, you haven't even had time to watch the actual shows we're reviewing.
Well, so I was actually going to say this. I have watched some of them.
Some of them?
Well, we'll get to later in the show what I've managed to get through. But
this is a tense.
So,
storytelling, this is like the, you know.
So combination of lame ears, the 600 show, because I had to watch a load of films for that. And it was just, there's been a lot going on.
Oh, can I just say to the person who sent me the Vegemite, to James, thank you so much. It's very kind of you.
Yeah, I passed on the Vegemite to Kay.
The cross-stitch thing.
That was right. Well, yeah. So this was Charlotte, one of our listeners, who cross-stitched the Pilot TV logo for us. And it was spectacular.
It sounds like there are a lot of Pilot TV fans there.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how few of them have written reviews.
No, listen, James, I'm not going to have that because actually we have had a flurry of reviews come in. It has made me very happy. I have passed them on to James. Let him know. Boyd, I know you are less, you know, trying to get these reviews as James and I are petitioning for them. But it does help us. It helps us go up the charts. It helps get more listeners. And actually, I just wanted to flag two people. In particular, I wanted to say a particular thanks. I mean, to everyone who could be asked to do it, because we really appreciate it. But particularly Pike1981, who said, basically, he doesn't subscribe to many podcasts, in fact, just one other, but he's made an exception to also sign up to Pilot Plus because he enjoys the main one so much.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Pike. Also, I have to read this one out.
Oh, God.
Yeah. No, don't be worried. It is about you. It's entitled Bumlug.
What?
It says, 5 stars for making me spit my coffee out upon hearing James say the aforementioned and now legendary words, bumlurgy, as I catch up on an old Pilot Plus episode. It was the painkillers review. My commutes will never be the same again. I now are a bum indented seating with increasing suspicion. I'm off to Google the symptoms.
Well, I have
when was
no
that?
Recollection.
You know really
funny? I remember
it's
because she wouldn't sit in the same seat as the other guy. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
And that was it. We were like, it's not like he was going to give her a bumler.
Yeah, that's it. She made a different chair be brought in for her.
Yeah, I remember now.
What, in the show?
Yeah. Do you remember? Because that guy had sat in the seat and she wouldn't sit down and she insisted someone else brought a new chair in for her. And I remember when he said it, I thought it was really funny. But yeah, for someone to quote it in a review was top mark. So thank you very much for everyone who's
That's
reviewed.
The kind of quality that you don't get on podcasts with Dan Jolin and Helen O'Hara, people.
Yeah.
You know, just putting that out there.
Yeah, Boyd.
Well, we'll see.
Now, so, but I should say, it is lovely. It is lovely that people have written really some reviews. Kind. But I have consulted with Maths, and Maths has told me that such a small percentage of Pilot TV listeners have left us reviews. A tiny, tiny percentage. I don't know what everyone else is doing.
Listen, I think
they're
possibly
probably going to see Les Mis. Or,
you think that's what it is? We're so busy. We're at the theatre.
And also possibly because you're being an ingrate about the people who did actually leave messages.
It's true.
But yeah. Obviously, we should listen to Carol Vorderman in the corner. And if you could, you know, if you are listening now and you feel so inclined, please do drop by with a question.
What's Carol Vorderman got to do with it?
Well, he did the maths, didn't he? He was
like, doing God. God, that was tenuous. I was like, what? Did you know what she was talking about?
Of course I did, Boyd. Of course, I was paying perfect attention.
I just remember the other thing we forgot to say is this time last week, we went to see a play with great people.
We
totally forgot about that.
And just FYI, it's because Helen wasn't available.
It's because my mum wasn't available. My mother was ill and you kindly stepped in. But that had TV star Johnny Flynn, one of your favourites.
Oh, my fave. From The Lovers.
Playing Richard Burton, Dickie Burton.
He was exceptional.
Brilliant. Yeah. And Mark Gatiss as Johnny Gielgud, Sir John Gielgud. And it was and Tuppence Middleton, is that right?
As Elizabeth Taylor.
Have you heard about this play?
I walked past it when you were in it.
Wow.
Well, not obviously in the play, but when you were watching it, I walked past. You know, it was playing, I believe they were playing the song All By Myself quite loudly over a tannoy, and I just kind of traipsed past it, looking down at the floor, rain pouring down on me.
Unfortunately, there were no terrible songs in it, but it was a brilliant, wasn't it? It was a brilliant play. I thought fantastic.
It was really, really good, and I'm grateful that you
did. It's called The Motive in the Queue. I don't think I said that. It's called The Motive in the Queue, and which is a line from Hamlet. And it is all about how Richard Burton and Johnny Gielgud did a production of Hamlet in the 60s on Broadway. Way. And so there's a lot of Hamlet in it. You have to be prepared to get it. Like, instead of songs, like in Les Mis, there's a lot of Hamlet speechifying and direct performance of stuff from Hamlet. But fascinating.
Isn't it Sir John Gielgud?
What did I call him?
You can call him Johnny in a very unfamiliar way.
Johnny Gielgud.
It's in a West End Wendy's style.
My making it Johnny Gielgud.
Now that I know that James is such a theatrical
he responds
lover,
well to it.
Oh, Johnny, everyone. Johnny, dear Johnny. No, he's known as Dear Johnny Gielgud.
Fine. Who is it?
Oh, God, don't worry.
That was one of your better anecdotes.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't
it? That's from the James School of Storytelling.
I called him Dickie Burton as well. I called him Dickie Burton as well. So that's
Dickie Burton.
You just got to call them those things. If
Johnny Gielgud and Dickie Burton.
Yeah, exactly.
Lizzie Taylor.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Right. Okay. What are we doing now? What happens next in the podcast? I've lost my entire train of thought.
No, isn't this the question before you?
Oh, yes.
Yes,
it is.
Yes, this is your bit.
This is an actual farce.
This is just a shambles.
Yeah. Right. We've had a message from @GreenBrendo, and he says, I bought a new iPad for my daughter and now have access to 3 months free Apple TV Plus. In what order do I watch everything? In other words, rank the content you'd watch if the clock is ticking.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've done this. So here we go. Hijack?
No. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's on the list.
It's not even in the top five.
No, first Hijack.
What are you like?
Boyd, you've got slow horses.
No.
So, hang on. Talk us through the methodology.
I'll talk you through the methodology.
Fine.
Thank you.
You've got to get it up front, Boyd. You okay? Gets upset.
Clearly.
Do you know what? He's got a head cold. Something's going on.
God. Clearly, there's methodology. Yeah. I've gone in with the most instantly entertaining.
I see.
Ones to get you in.
I see, but you don't see because you didn't list C and you didn't put C down as number one.
I definitely haven't put C down as number one.
Wait,
C isn't even in the top, like, 20.
And instantly compelling to slow horses.
Yeah, in a way, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah. Just there's something instantly, unbelievably riveting about
it. It's got a kind of crack, addictive quality
exactly.
to it. Yeah.
You know, no one loves slow horses more than me. But so anyway, I'm starting with Hijack, then slow horses. Okay. Yeah. So I've definitely gone with I'm front loading the entertainment, fun, and all these things are fun. So Hijack, slow horses, the morning show. Season one of The Morning Show, brilliant. Brilliantly entertaining. And, you know, you can't beat that cast. Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Now I'm entering into the middle phase. See, I've thought about this.
God, you really
which
have.
Is slightly more challenging, slightly more, you might have given them a bit of a chance, slightly slower burn. So I've gone with Severance.
Right.
Which takes a little bit of time, but is worth it. It pays off and was pretty much the best show of that year.
Agreed.
Year it was. Bad Sisters.
Yes.
Shining Girls. Which I don't think you may not have even seen.
Oh, it's very much on my list. Yeah. Shining Girls is way up the top of my list. Yeah.
Then there's Criminal Record, which is on currently.
Yeah.
Really brilliant.
That's very good.
Yeah. Then I've gone for Surface, which was then I'm back the fun zone. With Surface, which was demented but brilliant fun. Gugu and Beth Arore. Trying, which is one of my favourites. And then I've gone for a couple. Right at the end, I've gone for the couple of these are long. These demand more attention, and they take a lot. There's a lot of episodes to get through. So For All Mankind, basically, if you listen to For All Mankind, as you don't listen to Spoiler Special because it spoils the whole thing. What am I talking about? But the reasons why we love it are clear from that podcast, and it's just such a phenomenal show. But there are 40 episodes to get through, 40 hours of it now to get through. And Servant, which is one of my favourites, which is they're only half hour episodes, but there are like five seasons of that to get through. So they're more long term commitments if you've still got time after the funny.
You've been very thoughtful. Yeah.
You have. Your list is bullshit, obviously, and the reasons for that are is because you did not get C up there, obviously,
I've deliberately
for me.
Left out C.
But Foundation, the glory that is Foundation, is not on that list.
Because I knew you'd bang on about them.
Brendo actually wants genuine help here.
Yeah,
this is genuine help. Silo, Silo, very important, very important.
Actually, to be fair, we don't know Brendo's taste.
We don't, but if he has taste, these are all for him.
Is it a fella, not a lady?
Could go either way. Doesn't matter. Foundation is gender agnostic. Masters of the Air, obviously a big one that's now on there. Which we reviewed on Pilot Plus last week.
Yeah.
Also a good one. You haven't seen. I really enjoyed Defending Jacob with Chris Evans. I thought that was a really good one. One season, one are done, but I thought that was a really good one. I'm not sure this is top tier, but Echo 3 I watched all the way through to the end, and the production values were off the chain. If you like a bit of military action in the jungle. The Crowded Room, of course, the Tom Holland one. Mm. I was about to use a word that would have just ruined the show for you. So I'm not going to use that word, but let's just say you should watch that. That's a good one as well. A lot of people loved Taron Egerton's Blackbird.
Oh, I love Blackbird.
Which is another one
I should have put that in.
Worth looking at. So
I'm adding Shrinking to the list with Harrison Ford at the
Shrinking
end.
Was good. Shrinking's decent.
But listen, okay, what we've done is we've listed about 20 shows there.
Yeah.
If we had to just narrow
he's
it down.
He's got 3 months though, isn't he?
I mean, that's true.
That's but true. He can easily get through.
Narrow it down to how many?
Well, I just thought like five.
One? Five. Hijack the Morning Show, Tell Us Who Slow Horses, Severance.
Okay, fine.
Well, so you've got issues. So the Morning Show, obviously, season one, brilliant. Season two, so good.
No, I'm
season three,
saying,
great.
I'm saying season one. I'm mainly saying season one.
And then stop.
You can stop there.
That saves time.
Yeah, that saves you a little bit of time. I mean, there is an argument which you made that Ted Lasso, obviously, its first season is definitely the pinnacle of that show.
Is it?
I don't know about that.
It's
the best.
Start.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's bad after that, but it certainly has its ups and downs. I mean, C, obviously, a masterpiece from beginning to end. So.
Okay, well, we've tried to
help
you, Brendo.
I'm not sure even if James thinks that, believes that.
I do.
Okay, if you say so.
But if Helen said so, you'd agree.
This is going to be the stick we beat you with, Boydo.
Fine, I'm okay.
Do you know what? I did the Foundation spoiler special with Helen, so perhaps you want to listen to it.
I think I did listen to it.
Did you?
I think so. Yeah. Did for this season, second season?
Yeah, we did a second season. I actually did
listen to it, unbelievably, Because that show needs explaining. Both of you are very good explaining, I have to say. There you go. You are.
Still not feeling it, Kay.
It's true. Oh, my God. How much
kind of like tokenistic.
It's not tokenistic.
I would just like spontaneous ones where we don't have to force you.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Right. Is that it? Are we done? Are we answered the listener question? Okay, brilliant. We have answered the listener question. If you would like your question answered, do send them to Kay, Mistress of the Postbag, on Twitter at Kay Ribeiro, or send it to at Pilot TV Pod on Twitter or Instagram. And apparently there's going to be a thread in the Pilot subreddit. This is yet to be pointed out to me. Apparently there is going to be one, and I'm going to check it each week and then pass it on to Kay. I'm also going to be putting a thread in the subreddit, which might go out on other mediums as well, asking for feedback on a few little show ideas. I'm doing a little bit of live market research, so just like keep an eye out for that.
Glad this announcement was you waited until this.
Kay knows all about this.
Yeah, to be fair, it was in the brainstorm we had that.
It was in the brainstorm you didn't turn up to, boy. Do you know that one?
Yeah. I mean,
I was too sick.
Literally.
So what we're saying is basically James is our Reddit sub.
Yeah.
Okay. When you can't paste something from Reddit and you send it to us all, which I presume was like people being nice about us,
I could read that.
No,
and that's why I went on and then I saw stuff that.
Was there?
I couldn't read that. Yeah.
Was it because it was too small?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you can like pinch to zoom.
No, yeah, but even then you couldn't. The resolution wasn't high enough to be able to read.
Oh, sorry.
It.
We're not Luddites.
No, he's not even being sarcastic. He's genuinely trying to
pinch to zoom. Do you not think he's being sarcastic?
No, I really wasn't. No, see, oh yeah, I can tell. He just assumes ignorance. she was great. Stupid isn't any good. See, this is the difference between me and him. At least I just give compliments and you're resentful that I haven't complimented you enough. He's openly insulting our intelligence.
I mean, that's accurate. Yeah.
That's so embarrassing. Of course we know to pinch and zoom. Well, oh, God.
I just thought you were staring at it like moving the phone closer and further away from your face.
That's brilliant. Oh, God. That's I want to shoot myself.
Oh, God. We should probably move on to news. Yeah. I did say the show would be shambolic. Fine. Let's go on to the news section. What has been happening in the world of news? Boyd?
There's quite a lot of Netflix news this week, I noticed, including things like they put out a trailer, they confirmed the date and trailer for Ripley, which is the Andrew Scott starring series about Tom Ripley, the character from The Talented Mr. Ripley. It's going to be on the 4th of April, and they put out a trailer. And the trailer, I have to say, I mean, I was excited about the show anyway. If you'd have said, I think we did, didn't we, earlier in the year, what shows are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, it was a reader question.
Segment. Ripley was certainly then. It's now number one for me because you've got Andrew Scott, who's coming off, you know, his extraordinary non-nominated performance, but absolutely bloody should have been in All of Us Strangers, the film which is out this week, in fact.
Oh, I'm such sure. a good film.
Yeah, they'll be reviewing that on the Empire podcast, I'm sure. And he plays Tom Ripley, and it's the whole thing shot in black and white for a start. Which I remember he told me that was happening. I was like, oh, that is bold. Mm. Steve Zalian, and the last Steve Zalian TV limited series was, of course, The Night Of, which is one of the greatest limited series in the history of television. I'm not exaggerating.
It's amazing.
He's a brilliant talent. He's written and directed the whole thing. It's basically an 8-hour thing with Andrew Scott, Johnny Flynn as Dickie Greenleaf. Yeah.
It's Sir John Flynn.
Sir Johnny Flynn. And Dakota Fanning as Marge. And John Malkovich is in it. Malkovich in the trailers. Great, great cast in the trailer. I think that's a trainer. But yeah, the trailer looks fantastic. It's incredibly stylish. It looks beautiful. Andrew Scott looks phenomenal. Brilliant casting. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Then in other Netflix news, they have announced that they've got loads of new subscribers.
Good for them. Yeah. So have we.
Yeah, exactly. Netflix Variety reported Netflix packs on more than 13 million subscribers in Q4, well above expectations. So,
wait a minute, isn't this connected? Or maybe it's not connected, but wasn't the news also that they're going to show live sport?
Yes. So they've done this huge deal with WWE, I think it is, wrestling. Yeah, so the show.
James will know.
Yeah.
Yes, WWE. So Raw is moving to Netflix, which is the flagship WWE show. The reason why the WWE is on my mind is I have and probably can't talk about, but I saw the Iron Claw. I went to see the Iron Claw recently, which is probably... Is it not embargoed?
I don't think so.
Well, it's brilliant.
Because it came out... Yeah, I've seen it.
It's actually about the Von Erich Wrestling Clan, and it has some WWE adjacent
Zac
moments
Efron,
in it. Oh, my God.
Well, Zac Efron's body in that.
I know.
It's like CGI. It's insane.
He's always ripped.
This is like... It's like he's doubled his size.
There's ripped. But you remember Baywatch? Like, he did it in Baywatch as well. I do think he's got one of these bodies where he... maybe it's some kind incredible. Of weird prosthetic suit. I don't understand because it's not. I'm joking. But genuinely, there's ripped and there's whatever the hell he is in that film because all of them are ripped, but he is next
Ninja
level
Ninja Turtle
ripped.
Stomach.
And Harris Dickinson, isn't it? From
he is.
From, from The Murder at the End of the World.
Indeed. It's and many other wonderful things.
Is he more hench than Jack Reacher guy?
Well, no, see, he's different. He doesn't have the sheer bulk. It's the definition.
Yeah. Fine.
The definition of his abs. Like, if you gave him a hug, you'd have, like, abs imprinted on you for, like, the rest of the day. Genuine.
And also, his head is massive. Honestly, it's like his head has done
all right,
worked
well, if
out.
It's worked out, he deserves to be proud of it.
It's like he's got an enormous steady. It's like he's got an enormous... It's just like an enormous body. It's weird.
Yeah.
But that is a great film, I agree. How do we get to that?
Snubbed at the Oscars.
Oh, yeah, WWE. Yeah, totally snubbed by the Oscars. Yeah, it's a tough...
So was All of Us Strangers.
It was,
the other Netflix news that you haven't mentioned so far is that two new Harlan Coben series adaptations are being announced by Netflix. So that will be the novels Missing You and Runaway.
Yeah, because For Me Once has been a massive, massive hit. Huge global hit. I think biggest one so far in all of the Harlan Coben adaptations. And they brilliantly, very cleverly put it out. Was it Boxing Day or New Year's Day? One of the two.
New Year's Day,
Christmas Day. I can't remember. Anyway, it was around... It was one of the days in the Christmas, but where we're all waiting for to be entertained by stuff. And I think millions of people watched it and just
and
loved
Joanna
how
Lumley
addictive it was.
Saying fuck repeatedly. He doesn't
want to hear that. What more could you want? But even more Netflix news is that they've confirmed that Squid Game Season 2 will be on this year. Because I think there was a lot of speculation. We didn't know necessarily if they'd even started filming it, et cetera, et cetera. But it will be on this very year, as will The Netflix slate is quite impressive now. I know we do often complain about Netflix cancelling shows. You know, they have cancelled a lot of some of our favourite shows, etc. But actually, when you look at their slate for this year, it's pretty impressive. So you've got The Diplomat Series 2.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
James.
Gourmet Burger, remember? Mm-hmm. Bridgerton Season 3 is coming soon. Then you've got The Three-Body Problem, which we'll get soon, which James is obsessed with. Griselda, which we reviewed last week, which we all really liked. Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman series. Eric Stein, Benedict Cumberbatch. Avatar, The Last Airbender, etc., etc., etc. And Ripley, and the aforementioned Ripley. Oh, and Emily in Paris, your favourite, Kay. Season 4, launching soon as well. So they have got... when you stand back from it, I think I often feel, oh, the Netflix glory days or when Stranger Things and the OA, but they've still got some pretty damn good shows.
Oh, yeah.
And aren't they eliminating their lowest price tier?
They are, yes. They're phasing out.
So, yeah, it's going to get more expensive.
With non-advertising price tier, yes, they are, yeah. But I mean, you know, I get the highest tier anyway, so because of the...
Of course you do, Brady. Right, sure. Of course you do.
No, I would pay for it, the 4K.
No, I'm saying bragging.
You got to get the 4K, haven't you? You can't watch these things. You can't watch Three Body Problem not in 4K, can you?
1K is enough for me.
Steady. See the Reacher news. You'd be excited by that, I'm
yes,
sure.
Persuader, the yes. seventh book in the Lee Child yes. series. I'm not going to talk too much about this because we wanged on about it for about 20 minutes on the Empire podcast on Friday.
Even though it's a TV show.
It is a TV show, but obviously James, we're Reacher maniacs. But Persuader's a really good choice, and it's a mix-up of the formula again, but it is like solo Reacher again. It's Lone Wolf Reacher, but he goes undercover to take down a drug kingpin. It's a really good book.
Yeah, I concur. It's a very good book. Yes.
Good choice.
I've read it as well.
You two are ridiculous.
What?
Your upmanship.
No, not at all.
Of course, I read it first.
And in the weirdest bit, one more bit of casting news.
Yes.
Did you see this? The Amazon's psychological thriller Malice coming soon. Not, I believe, anything to do with the mad film Malice.
Malice?
Malice.
What the fuck is Malice?
Malice good is one. a psychological thriller starring David Duchovny, Carice Van Houten, and
Johnny
Jack
Flynn.
Whitehall.
Oh, wow.
Jack Whitehall in what it sounds like a completely straight role. So, the series will be blah, 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 blah. Exact plot details have been kept under wraps, but sources say the series will follow a young man, Whitehall, who seeks to infiltrate the world of a wealthy family, with Duchovny and Van Houten playing the heads of that family. Interesting is that. So Jack Whitehall's going in full big stardom in a major Prime Video psychological thriller. Yeah.
A piece of news that I would never have predicted. John Boyega is going to be playing Eli in a prequel series to The Book of Eli. Have you seen The Book of Eli? It's a Denzel Washington film from 2010.
Yeah, like post-apocalyptic thing.
Right, yeah. And it's written by Gary Witter. And it's... it's a post-apocalyptic thing where Denzel Washington was killing the shit out of a load of people. But there are two big twists, which once you know, obviously changes. I'm not going to reveal them here if people haven't seen The Book of Eli, because actually it's a lot of fun, that film, isn't and the twists are quite interesting. No. But I found that interesting. I'm surprised that this is happening.
Yeah, that is weird.
But positive.
Yeah, interesting.
Great. Other things that happened. Constellation, the Apple TV show Constellation, got a trailer with Nimi
Constellation,
Rapace.
The Apple TV show Constellation.
That's his full title, is Constellation, the Apple TV show Constellation. It got a trailer. This is Nimi Rapace in space. And oh my God, this looks right up my alley. I'm very excited about Constellation.
Kay. Have you got any extra news?
No, because you did all the Netflix news.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right. I said about Harlan Coben.
Oh, yeah. But it was Netflix dominated, wasn't it? Mm. The news, still.
Big news.
Yeah. Other streaming services are
Oh, and also the other bit of big news was that if you pinch the screen, you can make pictures bigger.
You can make pictures bigger and or smaller with a simple gesture.
I mean, that was really the bombshell news.
That is the big news. Oh, my. Still haven't got a date for Feud Capote versus the Swans, by the way.
Listen,
I'm still hanging.
You need to let it go.
Disney Plus keeping me hanging. I've specifically asked them. They're like, we don't know. Now, we've got to spoke to Russell Tovey. Went to New York for the premiere this week, which was brilliant. Loads of, if you don't follow him on social media, loads of brilliant photos of him. The premiere was at the MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art. Massive,
ask
lavish
Russell
thing.
To yeah, get him to ask
he
them.
Doesn't know. He
no,
thinks...
get him to ask them.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but okay.
Come on.
Anyway, I wouldn't surprise me too. It goes out January 31st in America on FX. I wouldn't surprise me at all if it arrives here pretty much the next day. They just haven't told us yet. Anyway, keep an eye out for it. Feud Capote versus the Swans. He looks absolutely brilliant with Tom Hollander playing Truman Capote.
Tom Hollander, who's got a lot of money in his bank account at the moment.
What a brilliant story that was. Did you hear that story?
What was it again?
It's film news, really. But
it's still hilarious.
Tom Hollander star of The White Lotus and this show was on, it was on an American chat show, wasn't it? It was promoting Feud. And he said how he got sent a check for Tom Holland, the Spider-Man star, just his bonus from Marvel for being in the Avengers of at least a million of some level of millions.
What the hell?
Yeah, because he's Tom Hollander rather than Tom Holland.
And as admin fuck-ups go.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to send it to one, send it to Tom Hollandist.
Yes. Well, there's also the other Tom Holland, I mean, as well.
Yeah, there's two Tom Hollands.
Yeah.
There's Tom Hollander, and then, as we mentioned on the Empire podcast quite regularly, my roofer is also called Tom Holland.
You mention your roofer quite regularly. Yeah.
The guy who fixed my roof was called Tom Holland, not that one.
Fantastic.
There's another Boyd Hilton, a professor in Oxford.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, there
the
is.
Famous Boyd
he
Hilton.
He gets
the
all
famous
your checks for hosting, apparently.
He did get, yeah, I got one of his checks once.
Really?
Did you? For 100 quid, yeah.
Did you cash it?
No, I sent it to him. I'm not a thief. No, but yeah, so I've got my own Tom Holland story, effectively, yeah. It was a chick for £100, not a million, though.
That's a shame. If it were a million, you'd cash it.
My main kind of thought when Tom Hollander told that story was, I wonder if Tom Holland, it's cleared this with Tom Holland, I wonder if Tom Holland wants the world to know that he gets however many millions as a bonus for being in those films.
Yeah, it's a big reveal.
It's quite a big reveal, yeah. Mm. Well, who knows? Anyway,
wow.
We discussed that in detail in the Empire podcast.
We actually didn't. I think we missed it completely, unless it was during a period of the podcast when I wasn't listening. So,
which, as anyone regular listeners know, it happens quite a lot. Yeah.
It's hard to say.
He glazes over, slash looks down, you know he's gone.
Yeah. Okay. Is that for news? Are we done?
Yes, we're done. Finished. Readers' questions,
we are
news,
finished
tick.
Okay, there we go. There we go. It's podcasting 101. Right, should we move on to the checks, notes, reviews section, where we review the new releases. So let's begin with Here We Go, the second season of Here We Go, which lands on BBC One this week, though how it's not called Here We Go Again is an absolute mystery to me. This is a kind of reportage slice of family life, as the Jessops' existence is documented by their oldest son on his, I'd say, camcorder, but it's not set in 1996, so I guess phone. Anyway, this is series two of the comedy that is largely about earwax. Boydie, please tell us about Here We Go.
He's being so unfair.
Sorry.
And you nearly killed Boyd. You killed Boyd with your snobbery.
I'm slightly dreading this because I knew we had a choice, right? We had a choice, dear listener. I'll let you in on the behind the veil. We kind of had a choice between this show and Genius, which is the Martin Luther King, Malcolm X kind of docudrama.
Which is on National Geographic.
Which is on National Geographic. Yeah. And we went for this in a slight, you know. And I thought, well, I mean, on the one hand, I've seen it already, and I did. So,
so that's the reason.
Full transparency, I hosted the Q&A for it,
also,
obviously.
let's really pull the veil back. And it was, James was delighted at the 30-minute rundown.
Yeah, and
there's
a 30-minute rundown, exactly, in his hectic schedule.
It was a really busy week.
It was a really busy week. We probably should, but I'm dreading him. James is like, you know, disdain. It was too silly.
Well, let's just not ask him.
Let's talk about it without me.
Let's talk about it. I'll just say it now. I love this show. I think it's one of the funniest of its type on TV. It's a family sitcom, but rewritten. So you've got two elements of it, I think, that make it unique. One is that, as you say, it's filmed by the son, the son character.
Yeah.
And he's
Which means there's quite a few, not like, it's not like a one-er, but there are quite a few long extended shots, which,
absolutely,
fair play to them. In a comedy, is quite difficult because obviously comedy requires fast edits a lot
of
the time. But
exactly. Which gives it a unique feel. And it plays with time quite a lot. So it will bring in the first scene, and then it'll go back or forth in time. And a lot of the time jumps kind of explain lots of running jokes, and that works really well, I think. And just the cast is fantastic. So the whole thing is written and created and starring Tom Basden of Afterlife fame, you know, from Ricky Gervais's brother-in-law. He is in Afterlife. Yeah. And the main character, the father's played by Jim Howick. Catherine Parkinson plays his wife, Rachel. The brilliant, the legendary Alison Steadman plays his mother, Sue. And Freya Parks plays the teenage daughter whose girlfriend lives in Norway. And there's the girlfriend, Cherry, played by Tori Alan Martin, of Tom Basden's character, and he's the brother of Catherine Parkinson. Anyway, these are all fantastic comedy performers, and they're given brilliant, juicy, funny stuff. In this first episode, James made reference to that, there's an earwax running joke, which is very topical, because the whole thing about earwax in the news, I don't know if you've heard.
Is there?
Yeah, there's not enough NHS treatment for earwax, and you have to, a lot of you having to go private, you see. If you listen to Radio 5 Live like I do, it's been all over the place.
Okay.
So that's very topical.
So topical comedy show.
Very topical comedy show. There's an old family boat. The grandmother's clearing out her old house she wants, she's got to leave, and and she clears out a boat, and there's lots of good slapstick stuff set up.
And there's,
on the boat.
There's timey-wimey narrative, yeah. It hops back and forth on the timeline.
My favourite thing about this first episode of this series is that Catherine Parkinson's character, Rachel, she's a mature student, and she Kay's laughing, it's really fucking funny. She decides to throw a gathering for her fellow students, which two turn up.
Yeah.
And they are both, one of them doesn't really understand what's going on because he's foreign, and she's making lots of references to Bruce Forsyth, and he has no idea who he is. And the other one is just this generally disdainful.
Yeah.
And she does this drinking game where they do a version of higher or lower to play your cards right. And I thought it was a comedy masterpiece on her, a masterclass from Catherine Parkinson, as she gets drunker and drunker as she's just going through this game, and they're just looking at her in disbelief. Honestly, if you don't find that funny, and we'll find that, I'm sure James didn't find it funny because he's such a twat, but that's one of the funniest things I've seen on TV this year, and it's proof that you can do a pre-Watershed, it goes at 8 o'clock on BBC One, pre-Watershed family friendly show that isn't kind of enfeebled and cliched and kind of plays on cliches. Jim Harrock's hilarious as well as the dad, and it's brilliantly done, it's believable, I don't think it is silly, I'm anticipating what James is going to say, but it's not like silly gags. The humour does come from character, totally comes from character, but there are brilliant one-liners as well. Kay, what did you think?
I absolutely love this. So when you were talking up last week, I was always going to watch it, but then I was a bit worried about the documentary style camera work of The Sun. I thought, is it going to wear thin? But it totally doesn't, and I'm actually jealous that Tom Basden's created this, because I think it's so funny. As you say, all the humour character-led. For me, I mean, I really did like the Catherine Parkinson stuff with the back to uni party she holds, but Jim Howick is just so funny. For anyone who doesn't know him, he's the co-creator, co-star of Ghosts. And
he's in Sex Education.
Yes, he's in loads of great things. Yeah. But honestly, the earwax build-up storyline was so good. And I just think even the physical comedy they do really well. Tom Hasden does really well. And anything with Alison Steadman in is a winner. So I just, honestly, I love this so much. I think anyone who is interested, if you haven't seen it, go back to series one. It's all on iPlayer. The episodes are really short, but it's just really, really good. And I fully endorse this.
Here we go.
And that's it. No.
Here we go.
No, we're not hearing from James.
I mean, I'd love it if that was true. I am intrigued to hear from James.
You don't need to hear from me. You don't.
So disappointing.
No, so I'm going to say I only got 2/3 of the way through it before Kay turned up to this podcast. I've only seen 20 out of 30 minutes, so I cannot, in good conscience, give a rounded review of the show. I will say I found some of the jokes were funny, but I found the hit rate, the hit-to-miss ratio to be more in the miss-to-hit for me.
See, I completely disagree.
It's fine. It's
like, the hit rate's so high.
Yeah, this is, as you know, this isn't like my heartland when it comes to TV. So I struggled with the humour of it. And the party scene is very heavy on the cringe as well.
Cringe. There's a lot of cringe.
I didn't like that bit massively.
Do you know what? The only area of weakness for me, and you might disagree, is the character of Cherry. I think she's a bit overblown.
She's big.
Yeah.
She's big. You just get used to her. I think the whole point of it, she is big. She's a bit like a disruptor kind of character.
Oh, yeah. I detested that character. Yeah, absolutely detested that character.
Not even dislike or hate, detest.
Because it was almost a caricature. Like, one is caricatured. And I always think, like, they should be relatable. You should be able to identify, you know, possibly a type, but they should feel organic, and that character didn't.
I think, she is the biggest character. I think it's quite funny. It's her relationship with Tom Basden's character is the key, because he's the opposite, and it's like he's trying to. I think that's interesting.
I feel like the other characters feel so real.
I've seen met people like her, so I'll allow.
Okay, well, I don't know your friendship group, but
I think you do. Helen and Dan. Like
oh yeah. I want people to watch this and then get in touch, just so we can prove to James that other people do like it.
Oh, I'm fully convinced that this is largely just me, so it's fine.
Oh, okay, in that case.
But watch it anyway, everyone.
Sure. Here we go. Again. Lands on BBC One when, Boydie?
Friday, 8 o'clock.
On Friday. Right. Let's go on now to a BBC show that is very much more up my alley. Which witch is the best witch? Obviously being a question that we all ask at one point or another. And adding to the witchy conversation is Domino Day. Or Domino Day? Or it's not Domino Day, it's Domino Day. because it's not the day Domino. Anyway, her name's Domino Day, whatever. So this is on BBC Three. It's a young woman of the Wiccan variety called Domino, and she's using dating apps to, well, let's be honest, drain the life force out of muggles. Kay, as someone who, let's be honest, does the same, did this show of Dominoes deliver?
He's very emboldened, isn't he? Very brave from the outside of the desk.
Do you see what I did there with the Dominoes? Did Domino deliver? Because Dominoes did.
Fine.
Anyway, carry on. Is it good?
Yeah, I was fully prepared not to like this because it's supernatural and, you know, it involves witches and they're not particularly my favourite things. But I really enjoyed this. And I think it's purely down to Sienna Kelly, who plays Domino Day. And as James says, she's on all the apps. You think she's searching for love, but she's actually looking for her next victim. And she's got these extraordinary powers, which she doesn't really understand. She's scared by them. She's searching for answers. But in this first episode, we see her going on this date with this absolute twat.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the absolute worst. And I've never been so happy to see a supernatural sequence because the way she handles him is pretty impressive and you're going to want those superpowers. But I just thought it was really intriguing and there's this coven of witches who are tracking her every move because they're convinced that they need to stop her because her powers will destroy the world, essentially. And I just got really into it. Towards the end, something happens with one of the coven and I don't want to ruin it, but they started to lose me there. But I think the power of Domino Day, Sienna Kelly, was such that I might consider watching.
See, I wondered what you would make of this because it's, again, it's a little out your wheelhouse because it's witches and supernatural shenanigans, but it's also quite grounded and relatable in that it is a young single woman in her 20s on dating apps, whatnot. So there's a relatability
to it. She's a really strong lead.
Yeah,
and
she
also
is
a strong
lead.
I loved her. I'm a bit obsessed with her hair, her curl pattern.
I kind of like the world building stuff because they did that thing that I really like in this stuff where nothing is spelled out. You're playing catch up all the way through where you're not entirely sure, honestly, what's going on for most of the first episode because they make it deliberately vague and they allude to stuff. And even by the end of the first episode, there are so many more questions than answered, which I think is the sign of a great show because it shows a level of confidence and it shows a faith in your audience that they don't need everything spoon-fed to them and that they will come back for answers when they eventually come. And I'm absolutely sold on this because there were so many things. Oh, I need to know what's happening there. Where did he go? Who is this guy? That bloke's shifty. What do they want? Who are the elders and what's their agenda? Like there were a lot of elements to this that I found absolutely fascinating. So yeah, here for the witches. Love it.
It felt accessible to me.
And did it.
You love a coven, don't you?
I do love
it
a coven.
It really does.
Oh, I love a coven.
Different critical, I don't know, like it's no much harsher on, you know, just a family being funny in one show. And yeah,
I was about to say,
him a coven and he loves it. It's like, oh, like, get away with anything.
If the camcorder had been following a family of witches around and they'd have been funny, I'd have been on board.
I mean, there were some quite big characters in this. What about those two elders come down and start? But that was like almost comical.
That was what Kay did like.
That
wasn't the strongest moment.
That was a dodgy moment.
It wasn't the strongest moment.
That was like funny. Mm-hmm. That was like, and I'm not sure if he was being played for laughs or not.
I don't think it was.
I think it took you completely out.
I wish they hadn't included it.
No, exactly. Yeah, that should have been cut. I thought that it just, because it maintained a level of tension and I wouldn't say it was scary. Definitely wasn't scary.
No.
But it maintained a certain level of heightened intensity throughout, which that totally blew it away.
Yeah, it dispelled all of that.
Yeah, but I thought it is very good. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary. This this thing has been written by Lauren Sequeira, who's been trying to get it away for years. I think, as you say, Sienna Kelly is so brilliant in the role. She's phenomenal.
My second favourite witch to Grotbags.
Right. But I thought the first scene was great because you had this absolute gigantic bell end coming in, and she bonds with the barman played by Purcell Ascott, who I think will play a major part in the whole series as they bond, and he's clearly a nice guy, a decent guy, and he's kind of flirting with her, but in a non-offensive way. Then her actual date comes, and she's met on the dating app, who's a complete gigantic prick, and you know, we're used to seeing these characters in, but they did love very well in both the casting of him because he looks the part. With a massive back-combed hair thing going on. And he's kind of like an American Psycho figure almost, isn't he? He's kind of like, you know, a total like city boy.
He looks like he should be in industry.
Yeah, it should be an industry, right? It could be an industry. And what happens with him in that scene is a kind of bold scene.
Oh, it's quite shocking,
it's quite
edgy and uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah,
like, it's
exactly.
not... Yeah.
It really is.
Not for the faint-hearted.
Yeah, not for the faint-hearted. So I thought that it just starts really well. And I think this kind of show, you have to draw people in, you have to have a big opening. And I think it has that big opening. I wouldn't say, I think the rest of it I found perfectly engaging. I wouldn't say it was amazingly kind of, it didn't blow my mind or anything. But there was enough going on to keep me, kind of watching it. And I think she's so good. And Purcell Ascott's character, Leon, is the barman guy, is so likable anyway that I think it works.
Yeah.
It's good.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay. Domino Day, which lands on BBC Three.
Yes. Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
9 o'clock. And I think they're repeating it on BBC One as well a few days later. In fact.
Finally, we have Black Cake, a show that charts the trauma of discovering that the cake you thought was lemon drizzle turns out to be chocolate. No, that's a lie. That's a lie.
Wow.
It's what Kay promises to buy us if we get more. I didn't see it. I didn't watch it. I don't know what to tell you. Is cake a made-up drug? It's really hard to say. I didn't get time to watch it. I'm sorry. And I felt really bad about that. I felt awful. I felt until I discovered that I wasn't alone in this endeavor. Was I, Kay?
It's such a stitch up. From the very beginning, I knew you were going to do this. Yes, I also am in detention with James because due to my own, what shall we say?
Lack of professionalism?
Yes.
Laziness? What are we going with?
It's not laziness. I thought I had the screener. And then I got to watching it and I realised it didn't. And then I ran out of time. So that's my bad. It's on me. So we are relying on Boyd, who, let's face most listeners just want to hear from him. So, Boyd.
I mean, what a scandal there. But first of all, can I just say, listen, again, talking about the veil. You both demand to know what we're going to cover, like days, weeks in advance. You've got days and days to find out that you've got the screeners for these shows. Then it comes to the day and you're like, oh, by the way, I haven't got a screener. And yeah, you're supposed to
suddenly... Can I ask you one thing?
Yes.
Would you tell Helen off if she had done like this?
I mean, not in the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, right.
I believe what Boyd's saying is Helen would never have put herself in this situation.
Yeah, that's true.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Helen, so she wouldn't.
So I would normally never be watching a show that we're reviewing on the show the day we record it. I normally do it way in advance to stop shit like that happening.
Yes.
This week has been an exception. What's your excuse?
None of us are proud of this.
I mean, I'll forgive you, kind of.
Sorry, everyone.
Here is what I think of Black. So Black Cake is a big limited series, an 8-part drama. It's made by Oprah Winfrey's production company, adapted by Marissa Jo Kerrer from a novel by Charmaine Wilkinson, which I believe was a bit of a phenomenon. It's a big, ambitious series spanning decades, set across various countries. Jamaica, it starts in Southern California, Italy, Wales, and London. The whole of episode 2 is set in London. And it's all about this widow called Eleanor Bennett, played by Cheapo Chan, from His Dark Materials. And it starts out in the present day. She's ill and she's dying, basically, and she leaves her two estranged adult offspring, Byron, played by Ashley Thomas, who is actually Bashy, British rap star Bashy, who was in Great Expectations. He was brilliant in the Oliver Coleman Great Expectations that went out last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was fantastic in that. One of the best things about it. And Benny, who's played by Adrienne Warren, who was in The Woman King. If you saw The Woman King, you recognise her from that. They are kind of brother and sister. And on her deathbed, their mother leaves them a flash drive that holds recordings of the stories of her life. And she kind of explains this incredible life she's had, spanning all these different countries, all these different situations. And that is intercut with a flashback too, when a young girl, disappears into the surf off the coast of Jamaica in the late 60s. And I won't spoil it, but there's all reasons why she suddenly has to disappear to do with what happens with when she's just a young teenager, to do with her dad, who's a horrible monster, and another horrible monster who she's kind of supposed to have an arranged marriage with. So it's a sprawling, historic, epic thing which jumps from the present day to the past and jumps around the world. It is very Oprah Winfrey. Now, don't you mean by that? You know, if you look at Oprah Winfrey's like book club and her and the stuff that she does, there's a certain type of story that she's drawn to, of trauma, of abuse, of exploitation, of racism. And it's all like very much in her wheelhouse of the stuff that she does. Yeah. But what I would say about this is, what's surprising most about it, it's very compelling. The story is really interesting. I think the present day stuff isn't quite, like the present day stuff revolves around things like Bashy's character, is he going to get this promotion or not, kind of thing. And it feels a little bit bland. And I was surprised by the extent to which they give you stuff set in the present day with his character and the sister, and didn't just completely focus on the story of the, of their mother, because she has such an amazing life, it's almost absurd. So I'm not quite sure. So the present day stuff isn't that great, but the flashback stuff to what happened to the mother is really interesting. She does all these tape recordings, and that device works pretty well, and it just looks amazing. It, you know, like some all the Apple shows have this. We talk about their gleaming cinematography and everything. This is just a lushly shot. I don't know what the technical term for it is, but this looks absolutely dynamic, beautifully shot.
They have the super lush filter on.
Super lush camera filter. it just looks great. It looks better than most films you see, basically, is what I'm saying, in the cinema. They've really, it feels like they spent a lot of money.
You know what that is? That's the Oprah effect.
It is the Oprah effect, I guess. Yeah, she is that powerful. So it feels like a big, massive budget thing. And then I watched episode 2, which is the one set in London, and suddenly you go from Jamaica and this lavish world in Jamaica to her working it with a number 24 bus goes, honestly, in London, which is really funny. And I have to say, for a huge American production, it seemed pretty accurate, set in the London of years ago, decades ago. But I thought I was really interested in that. So I did enjoy it. It's really interesting. I think you'd really like it, Kay. I think you'd probably find it a little bit traumatic, James.
I dodged a bullet. Is that what you're saying?
A little bit dodged a bullet, but it's really well done, is the bottom line. Incredibly well made. Will I carry on watching it? I'm kind of 50-50 at the moment. I don't know. But I did watch the second episode I didn't need to watch the second episode, but I did. So, there we go. What a shame that neither of you found time in your hectic schedules.
Listen, I've let myself down. I've let you down. I've let the listeners down. Exactly. I know that, and I apologise.
Anyway, it starts on Wednesday on the Disney Plus. I think it's all been. I think it all comes out as a big box set binge thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is it. Anything else out this week we need to know about, Boydie?
Yes. Heavily embargoed Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which arrives on Prime Video on Friday, but it's heavily embargoed. So we're doing that on Plus.
On Plus, we are indeed.
Which is this is the reimagining of the film, which starred two people called Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
And this time it stars Donald Glover and Maya Erskine, who is in Obi-Wan Kenobi, among other things. It was originally supposed to be
Phoebe
Waller-Bridge.
But she left the project. I've watched it. I can't. But it's heavily embargoed, so we will review that on Plus.
But we will.
Anyway, that's on Friday. Prime Video. There's a thing called a bloody. Now I didn't tell you about this. This, you know, there's sometimes every now and then there's a show arrives and you kind of notice it in the press release and everything. You think, oh, maybe it's a contender to do it. And I totally forgot to add this to the list of contender shows. We probably would have reviewed this if I'd have explained to James what
it
was.
Don't tell him that, because
I'm very honest.
Am I going to be upset?
No, I don't know. Maybe. This is A Bloody Lucky Day. It arrives on Paramount Plus on Thursday. It's a 10-part South Korean thriller about a taxi driver who agrees to drive a mysterious man to a faraway city for big money, and the passenger is a serial killer. And this
sounds good.
Yeah, and this is supposed to be a bit of a phenomenon in South Korea. And
is this going to be like us in Squid Game, where we just drop the ball?
Did we drop? Oh my God, his memory. I'm going to watch it, and I will get back to you, everyone. There's have you heard of a show called Sort Of? That's on Sky Comedy Now on Thursday. It's actually the final season of that show. It's about a non-binary millennial called Sabi, which a lot of people say is really good. I've never watched it, I have to admit.
He's smiling, and I feel like he's made a note to take that bit out.
That wasn't why I was smiling, but carry on.
Sorry.
It's just smiling generally, just smiling with joy. Death in Paradise starts on Sunday, new season, Kay. That show?
I watched that, because I went on the set visit.
Oh, yeah. To where is it?
Guadalupe.
She went to Guadalupe, Fox.
Guys, what a swizz.
For this show. Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. The aforementioned, I did mention Genius. So this is the Strand.
Yes.
Who have they had so far?
I don't know.
Nor do I. Anyway, this series, which is on National Geographic from Saturday, it dramatises the Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X interrelationship. And it stars Kelvin Harris Jr. as Martin Luther King, Aaron Pierre as Malcolm X. And it also focuses on their wives. So Coretta Scott King is played by Richa Opia from I May Destroy You. And Betty Shabazz is played by Jamie Lawson from The Batman. So that does actually look really good. But again, I don't even know if we got sent screeners of this, though, to be fair to us. I certainly don't remember seeing them. Anyway, Genius MLK/X is on National Geographic on Saturday. And there's a Jack Whitehall stand-up special. I know you're a big Jack Whitehall fan, James, on Netflix on Tuesday called Settle Down, which I've been to see at when he did it live, and was very funny.
I saw Jack Whitehall play at the Comedy Club in Covent Garden.
Wow. Well, recently?
No, it was about 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good. It was one of those ones where he was a surprise. He just walked into Dryant New Material. Yeah. It was actually funny because you actually saw him. He had a piece of paper on a stool. And when people didn't laugh, you actually saw him go over and start crossing out gags.
Yeah, they have to do
which
that.
I thought was hilarious. Just watching him literally, that's killed that one then. You know, it was fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that we have been responsible for Ricky Gervais going to King's Place to do just that thing?
I did see that.
Yeah, so he was so excited to be on our 250th live show that he has been going back to he's been going back to King's Place. Mm. He's done a few gigs there to try out new material.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's generally the case because I seem to remember him saying to me he hadn't been in that venue before.
You're welcome, Ricky.
Do you think he was disappointed that we weren't there?
He must have been gutted, although I do plan on going to see one of these new... I like to see... My favourite thing about Ricky Gervais is I like to see... Well, Wells can take you, okay? I like to see the earliest...
Assuming Helen's busy, obviously.
I like to compare the earliest incarnation of his show. So I went to see one the equivalent of this a couple of years ago when he did the first version of what then became Armageddon, is that the most recent one? And now I want to see this thing, the earliest version of this, the next show. And then
which is going to become Boydageddon.
Yeah, and they'll see the final version in however many months' time when he actually does the next tour. But yeah, it's already doing new material, which is extraordinary.
Mm. What's our pick of the week? If we could just... Okay, you and I can probably pick something we've watched.
Well, it's Here We Go.
Here We Go, obviously. Yeah.
I mean, that's not my pick of the week. So Here We Go to go and watch Domino Day. That's what I'm saying. Anywho, that is it for this week's, honestly, I'm so sorry, utterly shambolic episode of the Pilot TV podcast. We will try and do better in future. If you are new to the podcast, please believe this is not representative of the show. If you enjoyed it or, you know, tolerated it, do please head over to, I always say this, to Apple Podcasts and leave it a review and a five-star rating. That'd be very much appreciated. But if you're not on Apple, it's okay. You can leave a five-star rating on Spotify. And that might be it. I don't know if there's anywhere else you can leave one, but one of those, pick one. Pick one and leave us a five-star rating. That would be lovely. On next week's show, we have a selection of things. Curb Your Enthusiasm, which Boyd has watched twice, arrives on Sky and now. So I'm sure we will be watching
might
that.
Might be embargoed. I don't know. Have to check.
I mean, yeah, but it airs on Monday. So
just
I would have thought
Larry,
that would be fine.
It'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, that should be fine. Yeah, you're right.
What else is that? Halo Return, season 2 of Halo. Jesus. That's exciting. Kay, I know, is going to be psyched about that. The TED TV series lands on Sky as well, for better or worse. One Day, obviously, as we mentioned earlier, comes to Netflix. That might be embargoed, so we'll have to see. And there's something called Gwed.
Yes.
On ITVX.
Yes. That's tailor-made for you.
Oh, God.
I've heard good things, I think. Right?
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Great.
It's set in Liverpool.
I look forward to
Northerners,
it.
Northerners, working-class people.
Unbelievable.
Get the hate mail.
Unbelievable pigeonholing. Yeah. So we will be covering a selection of those, which will be very, very exciting. So, assuming there isn't a better podcast out there you can listen to with, I don't know, Dan Jolin and Helen O'Hara hosting it, then feel free to come back and listen to us then. You're all right, Boyd?
Sorry.
Good. Fine.
Sorry I even mentioned them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take us a long time.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah, me and Kay are going to start our own podcast.
Yeah. It's called the Fuck You Boy Pod.
Good luck.
Oh, God. Pilot out.